We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged, and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Good morning, Liberty Church. It's Easter Sunday. Why don't you open your window and scream out of there, "It's Easter Sunday! Jesus has risen! The tomb is empty!" I'm a little bit excited, but that is the reality. The enemy's defeated. Death has no more sting. Forgiveness and salvation are available. Our ability to walk in freedom is right here. Hope is present. The power of Christ is living in us, and we know Jesus is coming back. I mean, what more do you want to wake up to on Easter Sunday? It is a day to be excited. It is a day for us as believers. It is a day that we can stand at our windows, at our doors, and we can scream and we can shout about it. You know, I was thinking about, before we get to this point, the reality without a risen Savior. We're absolutely wasting our time if there's no risen Savior. Our lives mean nothing. Your life, my life, they're pointless, they're worthless. Our current state, it might be the best it's going to get. It might not be the best it's going to get, but who cares? We have no hope. We're just another number amongst the entire population of humanity that has ever lived. Your desire to be loved is nothing more than a learned emotion. Forget about it. The other night, we stood clapping for the nurses and for all the guys who are on the front line. What's the point of that if there's no risen Savior? But somewhere, even in people who don't believe today, there is this desire and hope that actually, is there a God? Is there an absolute meaning to life? Well, I want to tell you today, it's Easter Sunday, and there is an absolute meaning to your life and to mine. There is purpose, there is hope, there is future. The reality is, the truth is, there is a God who loves you and whose Son who died for you, and His name is Jesus, and that is the reason we celebrate today. If you remember nothing else of what I said, remember that. Because when you grab hold of that, that means you absolutely matter. Your life counts. There is purpose. And today I want to share with you what's on my heart, what I feel prophetically God is saying. And throughout these last weeks, you know, there's some key voices in our lives as churches, as the key voices in our lives personally. And I just want to bring to you some of the statements that have been shared. Sometimes people just say statements in the moment and they don't know the effect that it has. A couple of months ago, I was on the Skype with Gary Morgan and he said to me, "Heath, do you know what I really think you should do? I think you should buy a HD webcam." And I'm like, "Why? What do I need a HD webcam? We don't go, we don't broadcast, I don't do discussions online, I don't use Zoom that much." And suddenly I'm sitting in this season where Zoom, 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 we're pretty much doing it every day. You know, sometimes God drops something in your spirit and it seems so ad hoc, but actually it is so poignant for the moment. But I want to share with you what else Gary said this week. He's really been a key voice. Gary, I want to thank you if you're listening to this. But he said this. He said, when Jesus walked into a city, the options of everything changed. Water could no longer remain water. Food could no longer remain in a lunchbox. The blind could no longer remain blind. And the dead could no longer remain dead. We have to live in the reality that as we walk about our daily lives, the options of those around us increase, not our options diminish. The only thing the gospel subtracts is sin. Everything else is added and multiplied. That is incredible. Last year, we had the privilege of gathering together in Wales at a time. Some people called it a conference. I thought for me, it was a real encounter at Bless Wales. And we're in the middle of an auditorium and the worship has died down. We're about to hear this incredible speaker. He gets up, says one line, falls to his knees, starts crying. Everybody's looking around. Are we going to get a preach? And suddenly the presence of God descends and we're in this moment of worship and prophetic words across about 1,000 people, and silence fell. And in this moment, I'm thinking about it right now, in this moment to my right, this man stands up and he screams at the top of his lungs. He goes, "Clapham Junction, all change." And the first moment, I'm looking over and I'm thinking, buddy, what are you on about? And then suddenly again, another word from heaven. It's like it hit my soul. I could not release that moment from my mind up until even now. It keeps replaying. And I sensed in that moment and the few days afterwards, there were two responses sort of going on around me. The reality is that change is needed. Change is all the time happening. But the other point is that there is an opportunity to change. That night, there were 1,000 people who heard that. Some giggled, some laughed. Some took him really seriously. Some reflect back right in this moment. And I think this is a Clapham Junction moment. We've arrived at the junction. Right now, for many of us, we're in the station. We're navigating the noise, the shouts of direction, the looking about, seeing if we can gain some sort of perspective of what is going on right now in this world. We're watching what others are doing. We're wishing, some of us are wishing we could go back on the same train. Some just are covering our ears like this, hoping that the noise will go away. Some of us are living in fear and we're curling up in the corner of the station thinking this should go away. Some of us are just going to go and get a coffee and just relax and just kind of see what happens. Others are sprinting to the train they think they should get onto. In a crisis, so many things happen. Here's the thing though, some of us are quite happy to dwell at the station day after day. We look like we're part of the crowd going somewhere. We look like we're purposeful, but actually we're just playing Groundhog Day every day. We get up and we do the same thing. It feels a little bit like that at the moment sometimes. The kids don't go to school. We're going to go through the same lunch routine. Nobody goes to work. Everybody kind of stays at home. I know some of you are still in that place of working. But it's not just about the season we're in, but our lives feel like that sometimes. We're looking busy, we're feeling busy, we're doing stuff, we're wandering around. It's like being in that station, but actually realizing we're going nowhere. We decided not to get on any of the trains. We've decided to go absolutely nowhere. Here's the reality, though, in what we are living in. We won't stay in this lockdown season. I do believe the tide has turned globally. And we won't stay in this state here on earth because there is an eternity. So there is a moving forward. The question is, what are we going to look like when we come out of the season? Which train are you going to jump on? Because it is Clapham Junction and it's all change. Today, we celebrate Jesus coming out of that tomb, rising from the dead. Today lays our greatest opportunity. Just for a moment, in these next few minutes, as I speak these words to you, won't you just stop, gain perspective, clarity, listen. Dull down the noise, make space, and recognize the season that you're in and we're in. How can we as a church emerge from this season the same as what we went into it? We can't. How can my life be the same based on what's taken place today that many years ago, Jesus rising from the dead? I either reject it or I accept it. And if I reject it, everything can change. It's Clapham Junction. All change. I believe God brings these things as we're sitting into it. We call them Kairos moments. We know the reality that change is needed, but we tend to sometimes deny it. But eventually we're going to have to address the fact that there are changes needed. Some of us are realizing that practically in the situation we're in. How can we continue to do what we're doing, knowing what we know? How do we deal with our relationships differently? How do we deal with our children differently? How do we look at what really matters in our lives in these seasons? But the excitement in all of this is there is an opportunity to change. See, here's the genius of God. The genius of God is in the simplicity, but the genius of God is also the fact that He right now is keeping to His timescales, His plan, and His agenda. But He's still able to place opportune Kairos moments for us to respond in all of that. We can't even comprehend that. We can't even comprehend pressing forward sometimes and still making moments for people to jump in on our story and with grace and with mercy and with forgiveness and with love. But God can do it. He can keep the whole thing rolling towards His plan and agenda and still create opportune moments for you. Let me paint a picture of what it looked like on this day back then when Jesus rose from the dead. Mark 9:30. Let me read the scripture to you before I do that. This is a moment before that time. It says, Jesus was teaching his disciples and telling them, this is what he told them, the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. I read that and I think, guys, why didn't you get the fact that he told you this and now you're in this moment of Easter Friday, Saturday, Sunday, even Thursday taking place and you don't get it. You're panicking, you're full of fear. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, yeah, but I've told you things and you're still walking in fear. I've told you promises and you're still not believing them. And so suddenly it's like, whoa, hang on, I think I'm going to remove the criticism here and actually look at my own life and turn it on to myself. Am I listening to the Holy Spirit and those key leadership voices that have been placed into my life? But here's the picture. Knowing that, and then coming to this time, Jesus had died, he'd been buried in the tomb. The authorities had rolled a stone in front of it and sealed it with a Roman seal. The only way to remove that seal, the commentators have told me and historians have said, death was the only option to open it. You want to open that? Open it, but you're going to die for it. They even placed guards over it to watch over it. That, for me, is a lot of protection and fuss to stop someone they said was not who he said he was. A whole lot of things there. There's a great earthquake. The ground begins to shake. I love that song. The angel of the Lord descends. He rolls back the stone and sits upon it almost with arrogance. Your Roman seal, your threat of death, your soldiers. Well, guess what? The seal's broken, the soldiers are scattered, and I'm sitting on top of the rock here. I mean, I just love that scene. Maybe it's my humor, maybe it's the way I look at it. And just a thought on the soldiers. They were probably some of the ones who played dice for Jesus' clothes at the cross. They had no reason to really fear the disciples. But they experienced the great darkness and the earthquake, and I think doubt came into their mind. And they heard one of their own teammates cry out in Mark, and he said this, truly this man was the Son of God. Now you can try and cover up at that moment, and they tried a great cover up. They knew they had to because otherwise they'd be executed because they would have been found out, or maybe you weren't doing your job. The truth really is in front of us. Sometimes I think the world is trying to cover up the real reality that Jesus is who he says he is. We've tried to come up with all sorts of other religions and all sorts of other arguments. I want to save you a bit of time. Jesus is who he says he is. My life, my testimony would say so. You can strip me of everything. You can take my family. You can take my home. You can take my clothes. You can take my money, but you can't take my testimony. You can't take what Jesus has done personally in my life. Meanwhile, the scene goes on. Several women, including Mary Magdalene, approach the tomb to complete the burial customs. How often are we just, let's continue the custom? They came really early on that day. The tomb is open, no stone, and they're alarmed. Mary leaves the rest. She doesn't even go and have a look inside. She runs to Peter and John with the distressing news. Here's the news. Grave has been robbed. The other women remain. I'm not sure what they're doing. They're thinking, what on earth is going on here? But they encounter an angel who declares Jesus is risen. Mary's run off thinking one thing. You're declaring another thing. So they, full of fear, you know, pull their skirts up and start legging it. They depart. On the way, it says, the Bible says they recover a little courage and they head and they talk to the apostles. Meanwhile, while they're heading that way, Peter and John are running this way. It's like the great race, you know. John gets there first. I'm not sure if he's proud of that moment. Go, hey, Peter, I beat you. You think you're faster than me, but this is the reality. Let me read it to you. John 20:4, it says, the two were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down and saw the strips of linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who had been following him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen cloth lying there and the face cloth, which had been around Jesus' head, not lying with the strips of linen cloth, but rolled up in a place of its own. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first came in. He saw and he believed. John knew. John knew at that moment, this is the deal. Jesus has risen. Meanwhile, Mary Magdalene, she's legged it that way. Now she's coming back this way, follows them back, arriving before they leave. John declares, hey, Mary, you know what? I believe this thing. The other woman, meanwhile, have run to the apostles and told them about the angels. Peter and John are at the tomb. They haven't come back yet. So there's all this kind of stuff going on. Peter and John leave. Mary lingers at the tomb. She's still not convinced. She's weeping. She's tearful. And then the suddenly happens. She encounters an angel. I believe in the days we are living, the suddenly is going to happen in your life. And you're going to encounter things from heaven that are going to change your perspective in a moment. Do you know the angelic is right there with you right now? Angels are all around. That is an absolute reality. She's there, she encounters the angel, then she encounters Jesus, but she thinks he's just a gardener. She recognizes his voice. That's what changes everything. God wants to be so intimate with you that you recognize his voice, that you know when he speaks. Jesus calls her by name. In verse 10 of John chapter 20, it says, so the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she went down. She bent down and she looked into the tomb. Just before I read the other verses, this time she looks into the tomb. Last time she just thought what she saw and she ran. She made assumptions of loss. She made assumptions that someone has taken what is mine. Never mind watching him die. Now I can't even finish what I should have done. I came here to finish this burial thing. I can't even do that. The burial tradition. I want to continue mourning the loss. How many times have we sat in a place where we want to continue mourning and right there in front of us is actually victory? Right there in front of us, the situation we're in, we think of it's an absolute loss, but it's actually victory. But this time she put her head in the tomb. And verse 12 says, and she saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body was lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Mary replied, they have taken my Lord away and I don't know where they put him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? Because she thought he was a gardener, she said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will take him. Jesus said to her, Mary. That Mary must have pierced her heart. Bible says she turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni. She knew who was calling him. Today, Jesus is speaking clearly. Will you listen and open your ears? Because he's calling you by name if you don't know him. He's calling you by name if you know him because he wants to reveal something greater to you in this season. The same voice who spoke to Mary is speaking to you, to the believer, to the unbeliever. He's calling your name. He's not just the gardener. He's Rabboni. He's the teacher. He's Lord. He's the Savior. Jesus then sends her back to the apostles. That same day, later on, Jesus appears to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. This is a really busy day. They break bread together. They didn't recognize him for that moment. As they broke bread, they recognized. Let me encourage you, break bread. Break bread. Have communion together. There's something that it stirs in. Jesus had only said to them a few days earlier, do this in remembrance of me. Those two disciples return to Jerusalem and let the others know. You're not going to believe what's happened. Almost at that same moment, they're having this discussion kind of in lockdown, not quite sure what to do. And Jesus walks through the wall. I mean, you know, you can lock the place out. We can shut the world out. But Jesus will get to whoever he needs to get to whenever he wants to get to them. Church, just pray. Just a thought. Just to wrap this little scene up, can you imagine what Pilate's thinking at this moment? I'll tell you one line that's going through his head. I should have listened to my wife. Because all of a sudden he knew something, but the crowd had pushed in, the people, the religious leaders, what should happen? And he said, I wash my hands. Let me tell you, whether you believe or not believe today, you can't wash your hands of this thing. The reality is Jesus comes to you and he says he loves you and my arms are wide open. And I've come to give you a hope and a future. I am your creator. Will you accept me or will you reject me? And all of this based on the fact of Mark 9:30, when Jesus has said, guys, I am going to go to the cross. I am going to die, but I am going to rise again. the disciples at this moment, surprise, perplexed, excited, victory, Jesus is standing here, and did you see how he came in? Has replaced their utter dismay, their sadness, their lack of hope, and their defeat. The genius of God is keeping to his timescales, his plan, his agenda, and still placing Kairos moments, moments of opportunity in it for us to respond. Today is an opportune moment for you to respond. You know, Judas had his moments to decide in this whole time he hung out with Jesus. He made his decisions. Pilate had his moments to decide. The religious leaders had theirs. Nicodemus was so close. The thieves either side of the cross had theirs. And you and me today, we have ours. I'm going to close this out with this, another statement that my good friend Gary Morgan made. He said this, and this is to you, the church. I want you to get this in your heart. When the sons of God, and that's the daughters as well, when the sons and daughters of God manifest, what does that mean? They unveil, they uncover who they truly are. They reveal Christ. They lay bare the reality of Jesus in them. They disclose the truth. There's a, this is my life and this is my Savior and he is my Lord. When the sons of God, when the daughters of God manifest, the options of humanity change. People walking in crucifixion begin walking in resurrection. If you want to know scripture reference, Romans 8, 19. This is a significant moment for you and for me. The cross changes everything. All change, Clapham Junction. Because of that, my world is waiting for me to walk in it because it needs to be changed. His resurrection leads to my transformation. We may be in a season right now where so across the world, we're not sure. We're not sure what's going on, but God knows. He's sure. His time agenda hasn't changed. His love for you is not shifting. His purpose is not changing. Won't you just take a step back? Listen. Be like Mary. Recognize his voice. Don't miss the key moments. The heart of John, when he looked in and he saw, I'm convinced. I'm convinced. Take some communion today. Remember who Jesus really is, because his resurrection leads to our transformation. All change. We're living right now in a Kairos moment. This, you're listening to my voice right now. It's a Kairos moment. It is significant. The opportunity for change. Things are lined up. You're sat here listening. This is Easter Sunday, resurrection. But some of us, we're still drifting in Saturday. We're still living that, man, some bad stuff has happened. We're hoping some good stuff will be, but we want to stay in Saturday. Don't stay in Saturday because Sunday's come now, regardless of our situation. You are positioned for change. I just want to pray for you as we finish today. If you don't know Jesus, you can give your heart to Jesus today. What does that mean? You surrender to him and say, Jesus, I know you love me. You created me. You formed me. You know how I tick, and I need a hope and a future. Thank you for dying on that cross for me. You can just say a simple prayer like that. It doesn't have to be anything special. But I just want to pray for you today, and I want to pray for the rest of us today. Father, I thank you. I thank you for today, for sending your son to die on the cross. I thank you that it wasn't a boxing match with Satan. He took those keys and said, those are mine. And he rescued humanity. Jesus, I pray today that that will be more of a reality in our lives, that we realize we're not going to hang around the station because we've come to Clapham Junction and it's all change. The church coming out of the season will never look the same again. We don't want to be the same again. We want to go from glory to glory. I hope you have a blessed day. Have an incredible afternoon together as families. And God bless you and we'll see you soon.